is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
It is Friday. It is September 30th, and we are ready for week four as it's underway with the Bengals getting that 22-7 win last night. Adam, Dave, and Jamie here. Guys, I missed the game. Did anybody play well last night? I haven't even checked the box score. Anybody do well?
Well, you had the Bengals DST. They put up a remarkable effort against
I heard Kenny Stills had a nice game.
Kenny Stills had a great catch.
You know, I took him out. I had him starting in our IDP league. At the last minute, I swapped him out.
I did the same thing in our podcast league. Swapped him
out. I put him in my fishbowl league.
Nice.
So yeah. I'm off and running. Yeah,
I think I might start him in another league.
Well, go ahead and figure out. See if you can check on your computer over there.
Yeah.
So that was it. That was it. Just Kenny Stills and the Bengals DST.
Well,
okay,
no,
good.
No, no.
Let's move on.
The kicker had a good game.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Had a great game.
Yeah, he had a real good game.
Well, I think we should start the show with some Azer sucks tweets. Okay.
Why would we do that, Adam?
I got about 200 of these, 300 of these last night. I only picked like six.
I did start him.
Oh, you started who, Stills?
Yeah, in the Flex League.
In the Good Stills job. Of the night.
So I'm just going to read some tweet. I won't even say who they're from. Just basically, they're from everyone. Apparently, AJ Green didn't like the podcast this week. Can you talk trash about AJ Green every week? Do you think that Adam Azer was watching that AJ Green drive, or is AJ not even talented enough for his time? Can Adam tell us tomorrow how much better Beckham is than DeSean Jackson and Benjamin? I need a win this week. Please replace the Bonanza Curse segment with Adam trashing elite player and watch him go off. Hashtag Stranger Things. Adam's new nickname, bulletin board material. And finally, this is a good one from James. Enough of the OBJ talk. Just answer this. Vic or Ryan.
Did you like my flowchart that I made for you?
I refreshed my memory.
I just did the timeline of you. I said I did Odell greater sign than Green. Arrow. Adam makes horrible Odell Beckham trade. Arrow. AJ Green. Adam watches AJ Green go off in monster game.
And yeah, then somebody, he was pretty good.
And then somebody did another flowchart.
He was pretty good.
Somebody did another flowchart of your night about Blue Apron, making Blue Apron dinner. Something watching AJ Green drives forerunner into wall.
Is flowchart like the new Twitter thing?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know. I've been doing it for years.
Oh. Right, I'm just unhip. Well, this is actually the second massive game for AJ Green. 24 fantasy points at the Jets, 23 last night, and in between combined 10 fantasy points in weeks 2 and 3. But
did you see what I sent you this morning? What I tweeted you this
yes,
morning?
Yes. Yes. So you can, that's interesting.
Yeah. So his you keep referencing Beckham's best year was 2014.
Rookie year.
When he played 12 games. Mm-hmm. So his per game average was 7.5 catches, 108.75 yards, and a touchdown per game. Green right now is at 8 catches, 117 yards, and a half touchdown per game. So if you do that over 16 games, Beckham would finish in a standard league 35 fantasy points better than Green. So basically 2 points a game.
I'm just going to sum it up like this, and I think we can probably move on from this. This is my opinion.
You're never going to move on from this.
Well, I think the argument would have been better coming from a non-Giants fan. I think people think I'm just being a homer, which, whatever. This is my opinion on the two players. I think AJ Green is one of the best wide receivers of his era, no question. I think Odell Beckham has the chance to be one of the best wide receivers in NFL history. That's how I see the two. I think he's a transcendent talent. He's Randy Moss. You know, he's Calvin Johnson, different type of player. But once in a decade, you get this type of player. That's how I kind of feel about Odell Beckham. I don't feel that way about Green. And that sums it up. So
Green is like Carl Pickens?
You know, I looked all the way back to 2003. That's the earliest. If you go to our stats page on our fantasy site, that's the earliest we have data for on the website. 2003, the number one wide receiver was Randy Moss. The number two wide receiver was Torrey Holt. And the number three wide receiver was Chad Johnson. So in my analogy, Beckham is Randy Moss. And Green is probably somewhere better than Chad Johnson, not quite as good as Torrey Holt. That's just how I see them. People want to disagree. Mm. That's totally fine. That's how I see it.
All right, AJ. He's still talking about you, man.
Nothing wrong with being Chad Johnson or Torrey Holt.
Week 5. at Dallas. Go off, sir.
Yeah, you know, I almost traded AJ Green last night, but I didn't. So thank goodness. And
what if Green has a better year than Beckham?
This was never a fantasy argument. It was never a fantasy argument.
Better year though, because you're obviously basing your argument on what you saw of 2 years of Odell Beckham and 2 years of greatness. And so if Green does what he did last night for the rest of the year, does that change your mind?
Oh, okay. If he has 160 yards and a touchdown every night.
No, but I'm saying, like, you're basing it off of
Odell
having those splash games week after week after week after week. And if Green can do that the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Does that change your mind?
I'm not going to
because he's never been in this situation before. He's never been the only guy. He's been the best guy, but he's never been the only guy.
I guess technically, but he's. I mean, when Marvin Jones got hurt, wasn't he basically the only guy? I don't know.
He's been the lead guy.
No one's saying he's been the lead guy. He's been the lead guy, but
right. Twice as many targets as any other player on the team.
The comparison would be is Beckham now is sharing the field with guys that are making plays. Green, outside of the Jones year, somewhat similar to what Odell Beckham had, but I don't think to the same extent just in terms of being fed. This was my argument for AJ Green. I kept saying he's going to get the Julio Jones treatment. Just get fed target after target after target. He's going to set a career high in targets. Dave, you referenced the number, his fantasy points per target. I think this is what he's in line to do. But again, it's two great games out of four. Can he do that the rest of the way? And I think if he does that the rest of the way, these monster games, you may change your opinion slightly. Maybe not he's better than Beckham, but he's probably a little bit closer to what you're viewing Odell Beckham as a transcendent player.
Okay, so the Bengals 22, the Tennessee Volunteers 7. No Mike Pouncey, no Brandon Albert. That was funny, right?
Yeah.
I laugh.
Okay, good. No Mike Pouncey, no Brandon Albert for Miami, who just wore those awful Color Rush jerseys, and their offensive line was dreadful. All right, I think we need to talk about Jeremy Hill. He was disappointing. He's only averaged more than 3.4 yards per carry in one game this year, and go figure, it was against Denver. He's also faced the Jets and the Steelers. But I don't know. I guess both of these running backs disappointed us last night for the Bengals. What's your take?
I wonder if he got hurt in the game because he got off to a great start.
He got hurt twice.
He did get hurt twice. First the shoulder and then I guess like a leg or something.
He got a horse collar tackle.
Right.
And they rolled up under his
leg. Yeah. But he came back in and played. He got 23 yards on his first four carries. And I was thinking to myself, well, he's going to be off to the races tonight. And then you looked at time of possession in the first half and you realize the Dolphins defense is going to be gassed. He's off to the races tonight. And then he gets goal line carries and you go, okay, this is it. This is where he scores. And he's stonewalled twice. And to me, after those first four carries, he missed a series after that. He just didn't quite seem the same. He did have a 19-yard run later in the game. But it's frustrating. Offensive line didn't come to play for Cincinnati.
It was terrible. Terrible.
Yeah. And look, as much as we said, he missed time here because of an injury or, you know, you look at the Bengals' last possession. He still had 21 carries in the game and 3.4 yards per carry. Very frustrating, and you know what's going to happen is the second you turn your back on him, he's going to have a game like he did last week.
The schedule is very good for him heading into their bye week in week 8. You know, so there, I think it's what is it? So he's got four more games. I think three of the four are favorable matchups, if I'm not mistaken.
They are at Dallas, at New England, Cleveland at home, Washington at home. So
right,
yes.
So it's really just the New England game that you'd be.
The Washington game's overseas, by the way.
Oh, okay.
You'd be a little bit nervous about him. Would be the Patriots game if you're just talking about matchup, but. This is what we're seeing again. Is last year he had all these great matchups and he didn't take advantage of them. And so it's very, very frustrating. You know, again, go back to what we talked about in the preseason. If you were to say 220 some odd carries, 11 touchdowns, you'd sign up for that most of the time with anybody where he was being drafted, fourth, fifth round.
Yeah.
But the yards are so bad. It's so frustrating.
He's kind of proven to be very touchdown dependent.
For the last 18 plus games, yes.
Right.
Yep. Last night was really mind-boggling. Gio Bernard, do you think he's droppable in a standard scoring league?
I'll tell you, I had and I almost pulled it off last night with a buddy of mine, who I'll say his name because he's an NFL writer for Yahoo Sports, Eric Adelson. We are in a 10-team league together, and he's just been ravaged by injuries. And so we were going to make a trade 2 weeks ago, Gio for Diggs. I have just a slew of running back depth, and I lost Keenan Allen and Moncrief as my third and fourth receivers. So I offered him Gio for Diggs. He's like, all right, let's wait a week. Then he just lost Dez again.
So now he's not going
to. So he's like, I got to wait a weekend. I made him another offer. I said, Gio and Allen Robinson for AJ Green. And he said, I got to wait through the weekend to see about Dez. So I can't imagine he's going to take Gio now for Diggs, you know, yeah. Especially if Diggs has a good game.
Nope. I don't, none of us would.
Yeah. It's just, it's really frustrating. I don't think you're going to drop him in 12 team leagues, but in 10 team leagues, you're probably going to see him hit the waiver wire in a few spots, especially if there's a bit like if you have the Dixon Smallwood situation available.
All right. Any other thoughts from Bengals and Volunteers?
Joke was funnier the first time.
Okay, then.
The Dolphins offensive line was a big problem, and it really, I think it trashed Tannehill pretty badly in this game, and the receivers went down with him. I thought Ajayi looked okay. I wonder if he's going to get more playing time if Foster's out next week.
Well, that was I guess we should mention that. That was a big surprise that at the last minute they said Damien Williams was going to be the starter.
Right. I got a lot of questions about do I start Damien Williams.
Yeah, I mean, look, people were stuck.
Right.
You know, so we'll see what happens there moving forward. I thought they put an interesting stat or graphic on the game that the Bengals, I think, have blitzed like around 23% of the time in their first three games. And they knew that the Dolphins offensive line was so bad and that their front four can get after them. They blitzed 5% of the time in that game.
5%. And they still got so much pressure. Now, Kenyon Drake, by the way, he made that mistake in the end zone with the kickoff, right? Is that him?
I don't know if that was.
I'm not sure.
I thought it was because I think they said that's why he didn't get that much work that they speculated
maybe.
That he got benched. So, well, we can look up the box score and see if they had any kickoffs.
Look, they're all cuttable outside of Foster.
Okay. So,
expecting from Foster?
We're not going to cut Foster now.
I don't feel good about any Dolphins running back, to be honest.
Of course. But I mean, look, Foster played one game. He had 9 fantasy points. He had a good play catching the ball in the backfield. Mm.
So, I keep getting a frequent question. I just want you guys to answer it really quickly here. Should I drop Sammy Watkins? Been getting that kind of a lot. What's your answer?
It's funny because I keep getting the other question. Sammy Watkins was dropped, and what do I do? How much do I spend on him?
Or
is he worth adding? I mean, yeah, the answer, I would say yes. There's a good sample size of this from a year ago, or a good example of this from a year
yes,
ago.
Yes, add him, not yes, drop him.
Yeah, add him. Of course. Right. I mean, he basically didn't play. He played 3 of his first 6 games, and then he was just a monster his final 9 games. You know, so hopefully that's the case again this year, but it's hard to trust him. So I think if you're just talking about cutting, you know, 4th, 5th receiver type guy, Tajay Sharp, you know, somebody who's just been mediocre or disappointing, that's an easy move to make. Sure, go pick them up.
Now we have Fantasy Football Today, noon Eastern, Monday through Friday on CBSSports.com, 11 a.m. Eastern on Sunday morning to help you set your lineup. We have a Fantasy Basketball Today podcast. Basketball season, you know, the shortest, most non-existent offseason in sports. Basketball season is right around the corner, so check out Fantasy Basketball Today, hosted by Chris Towers, and our radio show tomorrow night, Ion Fantasy Football on CBS Sports Radio. You can listen online at CBSSportsRadio.com, or you can check to find your affiliate station, 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern. Dave and I will be on the mic taking your phone calls tomorrow. Injuries for you. Jonathan Stewart could miss up to 4 weeks now, it seems. Their next 4 games.
4 more weeks.
4 more weeks, right. Including this week.
Yes.
So that's at Atlanta, Tampa Bay, at New Orleans, and a bye. And then hopefully they'll have him back.
He's cuttable.
You think so?
I mean, look, it depends on what your league looks like. But in a 10-team league, I'll tell you, in our two quarterback league, he's on my bench, and I don't need him. And so he's somebody that if somebody else pops up, I'm going to cut him.
And that's a PPR league, too.
Yeah.
So much more cuttable for Jonathan Stewart. Dez Bryant, he has not been ruled out, but it seems very unlikely that Dez Bryant is going to play. So, yeah, we'll talk about that game. Josh Gordon, guys, he's going to enter rehab. Probably should have spoken about that earlier in the show. I apologize. He's droppable, Josh Gordon.
He is.
Yeah. The two reports out of Cleveland, and I wrote a story about this on the site if you want to read it, but two reports out of Cleveland say that he's played his last game for the Browns, and they have his rights through what could be the 2018 season, if I understand it correctly. He's under contract through 2017, but everything gets pushed back now because he's not going to play. So they would have to cut him for another team to sign him or trade him, obviously. But if they just want to hold him, they can. And so, you may not see him on the field for 2 years.
This is actually the second worst result that a fantasy owner could have asked for. The worst being that he comes back and plays and you start him and he stinks. And then you deal with him on your roster for several weeks before you know have the sense to cut him. Now, at least, you know he's not going to play. I doubt he comes back this year, just like what those reports say and just what everything seems to suggest, that he's got to get his life together. He's got to do the right thing for himself.
Yep.
Right.
So, you know, you move on. And this is really good news for Terrell Pryor.
And Corey Coleman.
Right.
I mean, you're looking at the two guys, you know, they'll be their one and their two, you know, barring somebody else of the younger, you know, receivers that they have, Rashad Higgins and whatnot, stepping forward. But for the time being, Terrell Pryor, he was owned yesterday in 84% of leagues on our site. Wherever else he's available on other sites, he's a must add if he wasn't already. And then Corey Coleman, if you have a roster spot to stash somebody, 49% ownership. We know he broke his hand going into the game last week. 4 to 6 weeks is the timetable. But, you know, if you're just looking at, okay, who can maybe help me down the road, Coleman's last game was his best game, 100 yards and 2 touchdowns against Baltimore. Clearly, he's got a ton of talent, and this is a guy that's going to see a ton of targets when he comes back. So if you're just looking at, okay, I'm just playing with an empty roster spot, just take a chance on him and see what happens.
Michael Floyd practiced in full, so he should play against the Rams. Guys, what's the latest on Eric Decker?
Hasn't practiced. Yeah. And I don't think he's good. Even gotten the MRI on his shoulder yet.
No.
It sounds pretty serious.
Yeah.
So I think we're looking at Quincy Enunwa getting a lot of playing time against the Seahawks.
Who do you like better this week, Quincy Enunwa, assuming Decker's out, or Terrell Pryor?
Oh,
Pryor.
I like Pryor better than Marshall.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Apparently they are not going to shadow Terrell Pryor with Josh Norman.
They can't. Josh Norman's going to line up over center?
Well, not when he's at quarterback, but when he's in passing routes, you know.
Right. Well, they say they won't, but Pryor does line up on the outside almost exclusively when he plays. So maybe the Browns spend the first quarter experimenting by lining Pryor up and seeing if Norman follows him one side to the other. But if the Redskins are really not going to move Norman around, it's an advantage for the Browns, and it's really good news for Pryor.
Yeah, I mean, and Breland's got a high ankle sprain. He's not playing.
He's not playing. This is a banged up secondary, right?
Yeah, they have to shout. I mean, they should use Norman on him. Why sign Norman? Use him. All right. What's the latest on Jamaal Charles? They have the Sunday night game at Pittsburgh.
Sounds like he may play, but it's the same thing that we've seen. You know, I think the last couple weeks, you got to get through today, through Friday, and see what his practice status is. I think if you're, you know, in a tough, stuck situation and he does play, you play him and you probably sit Spencer Ware. But for the most part, I'd rather just have him not play because to avoid the uncertainty. If you're still using Ware, I think he's still, you know, low end number two flex type guy.
Sharkhandrick West hasn't practiced this week with an ankle injury. So I wonder if they kind of feel like they're forced to put Charles in just to have the second running back.
How about the New England quarterbacks? Who's going to play quarterback for them?
I don't think we know yet.
All right. So we'll keep you posted on Fantasy Football Today and our radio show on Saturday night. Jimmy Graham did not practice, and Tyler Lockett is questionable with a knee injury. Do you expect them to play at the Jets?
Never a good thing when a guy practices one day, especially on a Wednesday, and then doesn't practice on a Thursday.
And there's an additional injury added to him, which is the case with Graham. So
you got to try and maybe find another option just in case. I don't really like the matchup for him either.
Marvin Jones has a hamstring issue. Think he'll play?
He also popped up on the injury report on Thursday, so he's the number one guy to go and double check on Friday.
Okay. If Marvin Jones, well, we'll get to that game. Tevin Coleman was limited in practice. Devontae Freeman was out with an illness, so we expect Freeman, right? Is this Coleman injury serious?
He got a little bit nicked up in the game Monday night. He played through it, so I'm sure that's probably what it is. Just keep an eye on it.
Okay. Do you expect Tavon Austin at Arizona?
Sure.
Tell me, do you not expect any of the following players? Tajay Sharp, Eric Ebron, DeSean Jackson, Willie Snead, Delanie Walker, Jay Cutler.
Cutler.
Okay.
You have to check on Snead and Walker. Sounds like they're trending in the right direction.
And we don't expect Rashad Jennings Monday night, right?
It sounds like it's still up in the air. I would lean no, but he still thinks he's going to hopefully get out there. The problem is he can't pass protect or catch the ball.
And he's a sit anyway. He's at the Vikings, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Guys, you like Jordan Howard this week, right? You think he'd have a good game?
Yep.
Well, that's interesting. Because Bonanza, Detroit at Chicago. Big game.
Look what you did.
Big fantasy game. Or I could just talk trash about Jordan Howard. That might work even better. Beckham is so much better than Jordan Howard.
You dropped the Bonanza.
I'm not dropping the Bonanza. And I'm not.
You just did. You did.
Oh, I thought you meant like get rid of it.
Now it's going to be 10-9.
Was there any, like, games last week that were supposed to be good that were disappointing? I don't think so.
Not off the top of my head.
There's got to be one.
Tennessee-Oakland?
Tennessee-Oakland.
Yeah, Tennessee-Oakland didn't go as planned. Arizona was part of a one-sided bonanza.
Yeah.
But nobody expected Buffalo to come to play. So.
Right.
Well, wow. Look.
Very telling. You didn't do a bonanza last week.
I'm not getting rid of the bonanza. I'm not getting rid of Blue Apron either. And if you're trying to eat healthier, if you're trying to save some money, stop wasting food, you want to try new things for dinner, please try Blue Apron. I'm on my fourth month of Blue Apron right now, not ending anytime soon. Every week we get three meals. We get fresh ingredients. We get a variety of vegetables, chicken, beef, pork, pasta, seafood. I usually skip the seafood, but that's the great thing. You get to choose what you want. And you can get your first three meals free at blueapron.com/FFT. blueapron.com/FFT. As in Fantasy Football Today, just go there, get started. It's a great offer of three free meals. Blue Apron wants to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone, and they do this by supporting a more sustainable food system and setting the highest standards for their ingredients.
Now, Adam, let me ask you something. And full disclosure, before the podcast today, you and I did a FaceTime. And I noticed that you actually looked a little thinner.
This is true.
But you looked a little thinner, and I wonder if that's from – do you think Blue Apron might have something to do with
it? No, I do. I honestly do. I know, look, people might not take me seriously, but the truth is I was a very unhealthy eater. I was never like overweight or whatever, but I was a very unhealthy eater. That's the main reason I love Blue Apron. Not only is it good, but it's just important. You gotta eat better. So they've got good ingredients, fresh ingredients, and it's really important. And I've lost some pounds, and I feel better now after I eat my Blue Apron. We've gotten a lot of great feedback from the listeners. Please check it out. Three meals free with free shipping. Go to blueapron.com/FFT. blueapron.com/FFT. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Yeah, we did FaceTime this morning, Dave.
How did I look?
You look great. First thing you showed me was your belly. That was very strange, but.
Well, I mean, I didn't know you answered. I was just holding the camera in a certain direction.
Yeah, and you got to meet Zoe too, so.
I saw the cat. The cat meowed at me, and then Adam immediately declares, oh, she doesn't like you.
She must not. She's not happy. Here are some potentially meaningful stats for a couple of players that, may or may not be starting for you. Zach Miller. Going up against the Lions. How meaningful is this? The Lions have allowed 5 touchdowns to tight ends in 3 games. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, Hoyer had a good rapport with, or Miller had a good rapport with Hoyer. So hopefully that's a sign of things to come. And maybe just Jay Cutler wasn't healthy with the thumb injury, you know, in the game and a half that he tried to play through it. So, I mean, it's a starting caliber tight end right now.
And a great tight end to bounce to if for whatever reason you've got Jimmy Graham or if you're streaming tight ends. He's got an opportunity for sure.
Yep. Yep.
Zach Miller, in a couple weeks.
Zach Miller is actually 8th for Jamie, 11th for Dave, and 12th for Heath. Here's another one. Dave, this is a guy you wanted to talk about, Isaiah Crowell. 4 running backs have scored double-digit fantasy points against the Redskins this season. D'Angelo, Ezekiel Elliott, Shane Vereen, Orleans Darkwa, and Williams, Vereen, and Darkwa all average 5.3 yards per carry or better. So what does that mean for Isaiah Crowell this week?
It might mean I have him ranked too low because, first of all, you got to like the commitment that the Browns have made to Isaiah Crowell this year and that they've given him plenty of carries. They've minimized Duke Johnson. They're leaning on Crow. And the matchup is really, really good. The issue I'm wondering about is can they continue to commit to those touches for Crowell in games where they fall behind? And could this be one of those games? And I mean
the best example would be week 1.
What's that?
The best example would be week 1. They're trailing the game those garbage time runs and he had three productive runs
at the end of the game.
That was all he had though.
Right.
Bad game otherwise.
And I'm the first guy. I've poo-pooed Isaiah Crowell through the first 2 weeks of the season cuz 40 yards came on the last 3 plays and he had an 85-yard touchdown that's rare. I think this is one of the weeks given what we've seen from him for 3 weeks, given what the running backs are right now, I think people should feel kind of good about starting Crowell.
Would you start Crowell or Forte?
Crowell.
I think the case is made for Crowell in standard.
PPR Forte?
Yeah.
Okay. Crowell or Tevin Coleman?
Crowell.
Crow.
Okay. Some studs with tough matchups this week. Julio Jones, Mike Evans, Odell Beckham. The 3 of them. Have you guys even given any thought to sitting Julio Jones against Carolina, they've done a great job against Demaryius and Diggs. Mike Evans against Denver did very well against T.Y. Hilton and A.J. Green. Odell Beckham against Minnesota, 7 games in a row with only 1 receiver getting more than 80 receiving yards against Minnesota dating back to last year. Have you given any consideration to sitting those studs?
I don't think sitting, but the one that makes me the most nervous is Evans, just because of, you know, playing both those corners. And I don't know. I mean, look, you know, I was a huge Mike Evans fan coming into the year. I don't know if he's earned enough respect yet, and I might be wrong in saying this, that he deserves the must-start treatment when there are some other guys out. Like, he's in my teens, so I'm still starting him, and I'm still starting him in the leagues where I own him. But, like, I like DeSean Jackson better than him this week. I like Demaryius Thomas better than him this week. So, you know, guys that were drafted after him.
Okay. Dave, looking at three running backs that have tough matchups, are you worried at all? In fact, I was a little surprised at how high you guys are in C.J. Anderson, top five running back. Anderson, Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott, are you worried about any of these three in tough matchups?
I'm not. First of all, you'd have to be loaded at running back to even think about sitting these guys. I think there are three running backs you can steer clear of in daily fantasy. But if I'm setting my lineup in one of my leagues and I have these guys, I can't sit them unless I feel really good about some of my other options.
Not Crowell. Like, we wouldn't. Jordan Howard, Crowell, you wouldn't start them over Anderson, Gurley, or Zeke.
You can do it if you've got the guts to do it.
You can make a case for Blunt and Carlos Hyde over Gurley.
Yeah, that's true. And Melvin Gordon is another one of those guys who's pretty much become a must start, and just such a great matchup for him that I would start him ahead of all three of these guys too. But there's upside, there's potential, and there's touches for all three of them. I wouldn't be surprised if one of the three had a bad game. I would be surprised if all three ended up having a bad game.
Right. Yeah, and it's tough just, to see.
These are lumps you have to take as a fantasy owner.
Certainly, and we can talk a little bit more about them later. But when I did the research actually on Arizona against running backs last year, they actually gave up a decent amount of touchdowns. I looked at all of their 9 home games last year. They gave up a decent amount of touchdowns, not that many yards. So if the game is close, Gurley should be okay, in my opinion. I just worry about him if they get blown out, because when they got blown out last year, he did not do well. No more than 45 rushing yards in 3 lopsided losses of 24 points for the Rams last year. 3 you like and 3 you don't. So, Dave, you like Charles Sims. I like this one. This is a little gutsy against the Denver Broncos. He's one of the 3 you like.
I think he's going to catch a lot of passes. Really, obviously, like him better in PPR than standard. But I think that Denver's defense isn't going to be as sharp, especially against the run, as they've been previously, because they're on the road 2nd week in a row. Because Tampa Bay, I think, is going to come to play. I think this could be a game where they're going to try and make a statement. They're going to try and execute properly on offense. I think the offensive line really isn't that terrible for him. And I think the volume will be in his favor. This isn't a game where he's going to get 9 or 10 carries. I think he can get a little bit more than that. And those catches should certainly help him out. So to me, Sims is one of those running backs that I would not hesitate to start as a number 2 option, particularly if I've been ravaged by injuries at the position.
Sims or Gurley?
I would go with... I think I have Gurley ranked higher, regardless of format, but it's not by a lot.
Broncos last year on the road, 8 touchdowns to running backs. They haven't been very good in terms of their run defense on the road.
In PPR, I've got Gurley at 14, Sims at 16. In standard leagues, I've got... it's a bigger gap. Gurley at 13, Sims at 19.
All right, Sims at 18. Sims or Brandon Marshall?
Sims.
Okay. Kyle Rudolph you like, Dave, and it's kind of interesting. His Giants actually have done pretty darn well against tight ends. Jason Witten had 6 fantasy points on 14 targets. Fleener had 2 fantasy points on 8 targets. And Jordan Reed had 5 fantasy points on 7 targets. But I agree. Like, I still think, you know, well, you tell me. Why do you like Rudolph this week?
I think that he's going to be an easy outlet for Sam Bradford, and I think the two have already connected. You just look at the last 2 weeks and what Rudolph has done, and I think he just keeps it up. I think the Vikings are going to have to find a way to move the chain somehow. I'm a little worried about the run game behind their offensive line and what the Giants have got on defense there. I think Rudolph is a safe start this week, believe it or not.
Rudolph or Zach Miller?
Rudolph. Like, to me, Rudolph is a top 5 tight end.
Okay. All right.
Standard or PPR.
And you also like DeSean Jackson, and Jamie also made a reference to liking DeSean Jackson. Go for it against Cleveland.
Well, it's Cleveland. And you see what they've allowed to wide receivers this year, and this should be a Kirk Cousins game. And if it's going to be a Kirk Cousins game, then you know that Jordan Reed will get his, and you also know that DeSean Jackson will get some deep shots. So, you know, assuming that he's okay and he's active, which I think is a safe assumption as of Friday morning, I think DeSean Jackson is a good fantasy play and one you can just plug in number two receiver this week.
Cleveland has allowed the second most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. Five wide receivers have scored 11 or more fantasy points against the
Browns.
Yeah,
that sounds good.
In three games. Yeah, it's good. Jamie's three. Start of the week, Carlos Hyde against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, look at the numbers that he should be able to put up at home. Dallas, you know, I don't think they've been horrible in their run defense so far, but Hyde, they're committed to him. You know, two of three games with over 20 carries. You know, even if the game flow, for whatever reason, if Dallas goes in and puts up a big number, you saw last week they were still committed to Hyde, even though they were getting blasted by Seattle. You know, he had 21 carries for over 100 yards, two touchdowns. So I think as long as he's healthy, he's going to put up good numbers for the season. This is one of the games, you know, we talked about this, that drafting a guy in the fourth round, not feeling comfortable starting him, this is one of the games you start him for. So the 49ers at home should be a good play. Dallas is, I think, going to be a little bit shell-shocked with their offense. I don't think they're going to be holding a lead in this game. I think actually San Francisco is the better team in this particular matchup. So I think you see the 49ers be able to lean on their run game. And Chip Kelly knows the Cowboys. He's faced them six times over the last 3 years. And his running backs, I think, have scored 8 touchdowns over those 6 games.
Wow. Wow. You know, the other thing is the Cowboys haven't given up a lot of fantasy points to running backs, but they are giving up 5 yards per carry. So it just needs a little commitment to the run game.
And they also face, you know, the Giants don't have a great run offense. You know, they gave Jennings 18 carries for 75 yards in that game. The Redskins don't have a great run offense. So two of their three opponents, not exactly the best in terms of running teams.
Yep, yep. You like Jordan Howard against Detroit. Who do you like better, Carlos Hyde or Jordan Howard?
Hyde. But, you know, Howard's a good guy to start if you picked him up this week. And you got to like the usage last week in terms of his, you know, total numbers. Did a good job catching the ball in the backfield. The Bears have been committed to one guy in each of their first, you know, two games.
They're loyal.
Huh?
They're loyal.
They are loyal. I think you're going to see Howard get, you know, the lion's share of the workload, no pun intended.
Nice. So he's going to be a Bear out there.
It'll be a Bear out there. And so if the game holds to what you're expecting, you know, it should be a lot of points on the board. Howard, I don't think they're going to give Joik Bell a lot of work. So, for the Bears. So I think you see Howard get, you know, close to 20 touches if the game is in Chicago's favor. And for what it's worth with Jeremy Langford, he scored 2 short area touchdowns in the first 2 games. So that'll definitely benefit him then in working the goal line. And even in PPR leagues, don't be afraid of him. You know, he had 4 catches last week, 6 in the 2 games he's played.
I almost feel like you could take the fourth quarter of that Bears-Cowboys game and project it forward, that you saw Jordan Howard get those catches toward the end of the game. It's almost like they were testing him out to see, can he do this? And he did, just like Kevin White was able to do, you know, running the deeper routes, catching some of them, making some plays, getting some yardage. It, to me, and I said this on the radio in Chicago today, I felt like it was like a scrimmage for the Bears. They know they're going to lose the game. They've got Brian Hoyer under center. Let's just start working these younger players to see what they can do.
Would you rather start Jamaal Charles if he plays or Jordan Howard?
Howard.
Okay. Jamie, you like Kevin White against Detroit. This is interesting. And what? Yeah, Dave, how do you frame that? How do you like him?
Dave just talked about this. Well, first off, we got to make sure Alshon Jeffrey plays. Because if Jeffrey's out, then you're going to see a ton of targets go to Kevin White's direction. And that was the case last week, you know, with Jeffrey banged up. So you see a Lions defense that has one good cornerback in Slay, and we'll see where he goes. If, Jeffrey's just beat this team up, you know, in the last 5 meetings. So I still think he's the better of the Bears receivers. I don't think it's close if he plays. But Kevin White's now in the conversation as a third receiver, somebody you could consider if you're stuck this week as a flex option.
Right. No and Dez or no Decker.
Absolutely.
You can run to him.
Yep. Or Snead if he's out. And you saw last week, it was clearly the number one receiver for the Packers, but they did spread the ball around to everybody, not named Randall Cobb. And he should get peppered with targets if Hoyer is going to continue to lean on him like we saw last week. So he's a third receiver that's certainly rising.
Interesting, interesting. All right, let's go to three you don't like now for the NFC home games. Jamie's three, Eli Manning. I actually was surprised that he's not that low in your rankings. I think he's a top 15 guy for both of you. 8 career games against the Vikings, Manning has a 54.8 passer rating, 5 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. Oh, my God. It's terrible.
But that's not...
Who would you start over Eli Manning, Jamie and Dave?
Brian Hoyer.
Brian Hoyer is actually one of the guys.
Kirk Cousins, right?
Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, Joe Flacco.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not good. But the thing, what you said about the matchup against the Vikings and his track record against Minnesota, that's one thing. Are you interested in knowing his track record against Mike Zimmer coached defenses?
I would be. I think if we get into that, go ahead. Go ahead.
9 games they played against each other. Eli's actually 5-4 in the games. He's had multiple touchdowns 4 times, none since 2007. And he's thrown at least 1 interception in all but 2 of the meetings.
Oh, surprising.
Including 3 last year against the Vikings. You'll remember that game, Adam. That's the game that Odell Beckham had to sit out. So Eli was a pretty deplorable quarterback that week. But you look at this fact. Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, consecutive weeks, one of them on the road. The Vikings shut them both down. So if they can do that to Aaron Rodgers and Cam Newton, then you've got to think that they're going to be able to do it to Eli Manning too.
Yeah, got some interesting Odell Beckham trades I want to talk about at the end of the show. Jamie, you also don't like Tevin Coleman this week against the Panthers.
No, I mean, look, he's been touchdown dependent, and I don't like to rely on that if I don't have to. And I don't think they're going to score a lot of touchdowns compared to what they did last week against the Saints. This is their toughest matchup so far. I think you'll see still the split going on. And so, you know, he had, if you take away his touchdowns the last 2 games, it would have been, I think, 2 fantasy points. 4 fantasy points in week 2, and 8 fantasy points last week in a standard league. So I'm just taking the touchdown out of the equation here in a tougher matchup. I think you'll see a little bit of a letdown. Now, given the running back scenario for the week, that still makes him probably worth trusting or at least buying into if he does score as a low-end number 2 flex type of guy. But for the most part, I don't think it's a slam dunk. Oh my God, he scored 3 touchdowns. He was the number 1 running back last week. He's a must-start guy. I would start Howard with plenty of confidence over him, and I would start Dwayne Washington in that same game for the Lions over him.
Jerick McKinnon, Jamie, is another guy you don't like against the Giants, who are allowing 3.2 yards per carry.
Yeah, it's not a great matchup for him. Again, I did like the fact that they gave him the 16 carries last week, and I do think that if they're winning, game flow will help him, but the Giants' run defense has been good. I think McKinnon needs to be more involved in the passing game. Did not like only 2 targets and 1 catch last week. That, I think, is where he'll make his best production, is being a dual threat guy and catch the ball in the backfield. So, you know, that game last week was a little tough to run, more tough to run against Carolina in Carolina. This will be a little bit better situation for him. But again, nothing more than a flex option.
And the 3 that Dave does not like this week, Jameis Winston. Let's start with him. So he was better than we anticipated against the Rams last week, 31 fantasy points. What about against Denver, Dave?
I think it's going to be a little tougher on him unless he runs more and maybe runs for a touchdown. It's not for a lack of attempts. He's going to throw at least 40 passes in this game, maybe closer to 50. He's done that in his last 2 games, over 50 pass attempts. One of them was great, 31 fantasy points against L.A., and then one of them, less than 10
five fantasy points. I think,
yeah, he was miserable at Arizona, and that's a good defense with a good secondary. And I can't help but think that it's this Denver secondary that plays a little bit better this second week on the road than their run defense does. I think the pass rush comes to play, and I think it's just a little too dicey to go with Jameis.
Jameis on the second half of his the game where he was bad was the second half of his back-to-back road games to open the season, going to Arizona. And this is now Denver's second half of their back-to-back road games. We're interested to see how that defense shows up.
Would you rather have Jameis Winston or Eli Manning this week?
Eli.
I have Eli ranked higher. I don't know how good about that I feel.
Michael Floyd, you don't like this week, Dave. Come on, this is the week. This is the week. Last week I said was the week. This is the real week. Michael Floyd.
I think this is the week for John Brown, actually, against this Rams secondary. They've got a nice physical corners that can match up pretty well with Floyd. He's disappointed for the first 3 weeks of the season. He even has a touchdown this year, and it was in a game he didn't even have 10 receiving yards. I'm not ready to go full bore with Michael Floyd again. He's a good guy to put on the bench. There are other receivers that we have and will talk about that are better than Michael Floyd this week.
Give me a couple. Hold on. Kevin White or Michael Floyd?
I mean, that's exactly where I was going to go to first, and I think you should take the chance on Kevin White given his matchup versus what Floyd's got. I would start John Brown ahead of him. I would start Steve Smith ahead of him. Wow. Mike Wallace, obviously. But I think Steve Smith's going to get some targets this week against Oakland. And if Willie Snead doesn't play, Michael Thomas, another name you can go and drop into your lineup this week going up against him. And Terrell Pryor, a lot of people picked him up, so he's widely owned. I would start Pryor over Floyd this week.
Now, I'm probably just going to say this is the week for Michael Floyd every week. I just want to give everybody a heads up on that. Just be prepared. And you're sitting Cameron Artis Payne and any other Panthers running back at Atlanta.
Right. And it's not necessarily a terrible matchup.
Yeah,
for them.
I was disappointed, guys, because I have one league where Cameron Artis Payne is my number two running back. That's awesome. And I was thinking about making a trade for a running back, but I thought to myself, I actually think I'm going to be okay starting him this week. And then I saw your rankings, and I was a little taken aback by being outside the top 24 against the Falcons.
I just don't like the carries, that he only gets 12 carries. And he's in the same quagmire that Jonathan Stewart is in every single week, which is, well, he's going to get around, you know, a certain amount of carries. It's never going to be more than 20 to 25. And Cam Newton is going to be a threat to take away touchdowns.
Never
going
to be more than 20 to 25. How many carries do you want?
Yeah, you need to go a little lower.
I want my running backs to get a lot of carries.
You need to go a little lower than that. I'll take 20.
Carries,
I'll take 22.
If Cameron Artis Payne is only getting 20 or 12 carries, I don't expect him to do a lot with it.
But yeah, that was 12, tough, yeah.
Tough match. He's going to get 15-plus carries this week. I don't think he's horrible.
Well, you guys don't love Cameron Artis Payne.
I'm not right. I wouldn't drop him. I feel real good starting him.
That's our first game, Carolina at Atlanta. So here we go. Matt Ryan, 9th for Jamie, 7th for Dave. Really? Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Discuss.
Quarterbacks suck this week. Let's preface it with that. And I think there's a good opportunity for Ryan to throw a lot in this game. Hopefully at home he doesn't get sloppy.
It's going to be a statement about what kind of season. Well, look, we always overreact, but if he does well in this game,
oh yeah,
then could bode well.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing about the Panthers' defense. I don't think their pass rush is that great, and I don't think their secondary is that great.
No, but that said, they've allowed the fifth fewest passing yards so far. They haven't faced great competition.
Right. They had Simeon in Week 1. They had Gabbert in Week 2. They had Bradford last week. So now their next three games are against Ryan, Winston, and Breeze. All divisional games. We're going to learn a lot about that defense.
So we already talked about Tevin Coleman. Devontae Freeman. Would you rather start Devontae Freeman or Jordan Howard?
Freeman,
but it's close.
Okay, but he is a start. You like Freeman this week?
Yeah, I mean, just his, dual threat ability.
Start or sit Mohamed Sanu?
Sit.
Start or sit Jacob Tammy with Carolina allowing a touchdown to a tight end in two straight games?
Kind of weird how it's happened, though, because you had the Vance McDonald big catch and run in garbage time last week or 2 weeks ago. And then last week, Rudolph did his thing, but I think Rudolph is a consistent part of that Vikings offense. And last week, Tammy proved to not be a consistent part of the offense.
So I
still have him ranked in the top 12. I'm not running away from Tammy. This feels like the type of week where everyone's jumping off the Tammy bandwagon because he stunk last week. And so, naturally, this is where he comes back and scores a touchdown.
He's better in PPR. He doesn't score a lot of touchdowns. That's a problem. He's just better in PPR than he is in standard. He'll have more catches. Game flow will be in his favor compared to last week.
Would you start Tammy?
Not going to run with the same success.
Would you start Tammy or Kelsey?
I'd go Tammy.
I'd start Kelsey.
Okay. Okay, Calvin Benjamin we're starting. Julio Jones we're starting. Any other wide receivers in this game?
No.
There's sleeper appeal for Funchess and Ginn, but I think it's daily sleeper appeal, not seasonal.
Actually, yeah, it's kind of interesting what's happened with Atlanta the last 2 weeks. Amari Cooper struggled. Michael Crabtree and Seth Roberts caught touchdowns. Brandon Cook struggled. Michael Thomas and Brandon Coleman caught touchdowns. So
stay away from Trufant.
Yeah, but doesn't mean stay away from Kelvin Benjamin.
No, Benjamin just physically. When he's facing these smaller corners, I think he's going to have a distinct advantage. And after what happened last week, both Cam and Ken Dorsey and Ron Rivera, as you would all expect, we can't go away from Kelvin Benjamin.
And I would just say Ted Ginn in a daily league is not a bad play.
Yep.
Carolina DST, you're going to start him. Greg Olsen, top three tight end in standard, top two in PPR. Detroit at Chicago, 37-34 last time there, last year at Detroit, but 24-20 at Chicago last year. I'd prefer the 37-34 outcome. Matthew Stafford is number three for both of you, number five for Heath. So would you start Stafford over Luck this week?
Yes.
All right. Stafford is a must start. The Bears defense is really bad. Which Detroit running back do you like better in this game, guys?
Washington in standard, Riddick in PPR.
I like Washington better. I believe in both.
Interesting.
I'm kind of losing my heat here on Theo Riddick. Washington's the better runner, and I wonder if it's going to lead to more playing time. I do have Riddick two spots higher than Washington as I sit here right now.
In PPR?
And it's because of the catches, yes, in PPR.
Do you think Would you start Dwayne Washington over Cameron Artis Payne?
Yes.
Yes.
Interesting. Would you start Dwayne Washington or Terrell Pryor?
Pryor.
Yeah, I'd go Pryor.
Okay. Any Detroit wide receivers to start other than Marvin Jones? And what if Marvin Jones is out?
I mean, if Jones is out, then you got to figure both guys get a bump, but I don't think that means they're must-start guys in terms of Golden Tate and Anquan Boldin. And no, I wouldn't start any of the other two guys unless I'm stuck. Bolden's been more consistent in terms of his fantasy production. You just don't get a lot of targets from him. He's basically just become like a red zone threat.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty hard not to start Eric Ebron at this point. He's a top seven tight end for you guys in standard and PPR.
Yep.
And we talked about Brian Hoyer. So Brian Hoyer or, I'm not sure if you answered this, but Brian Hoyer or Jameis Winston?
Hoyer.
I think Hoyer's actually kind of safe.
I mean, again, you have no Ansa. You have no DeAndre Levy. This is why
it's Jordan secondary Howard. That's just not great all the way around.
Yep. I mean, look at the games that they've given up. They make Marcus Mariota look, you know, decent.
20 fantasy points to Mariota.
Right. Obviously, Andrew Luck had a big game in week
so
one.
Rodgers.
And then Rodgers last week. So
yeah.
There's three game sample size of this defense not really being able to stop or shut down opposing quarterbacks. I do think, though, this is a game that Chicago can win. And that being said, they may not be throwing like we saw last week where they're just chasing points dramatically.
Right. If they can run the ball effectively, which is kind of a medium to large sized if, then that'll hurt Detroit's chances to win big time.
No, I mean Hoyer playing well. I don't really care about.
Well, I don't know that they
will.
Well, win.
No, they need to win the time of possession against the Lions for sure. They can't let Matthew Stafford have the ball.
Yeah, but my point would be is that I don't know if they're going to be like what we saw last week from Hoyer. Chasing points.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to win the game in a low-scoring game because we expect Detroit to put up their points, right?
Oh, obviously.
So
but
if they win,
I
Howard's going to have to... Yeah, sorry, Jamie, go ahead.
No, I just don't think you're going to see like the 45-plus pass attempts from Brian Hoyer.
All right, I'm going to ask you some flex questions for Jordan Howard. Would you rather start Jordan Howard or Stephon Diggs?
Diggs.
It's Jordan Howard or Emmanuel Sanders?
Sanders.
Howard.
All right, so he's in that group there. Giants at Minnesota. Which quarterback do you like better?
Eli.
I have to like one of these quarterbacks?
All right, well, I made the case for Bradford, but Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie might play in this game. But you guys don't seem to care too much about Sam Bradford in this spot. Okay, works for me.
Yeah.
There's still
Beckham.
A big pass rush for the Giants, and Sam Bradford's never been great when he's got 2 seconds to make a decision with the football.
Odell Beckham, you're starting. The Giants running backs are avoid. Like Cameron Artis Payne or Orleans Darkwa?
Payne.
Artis Payne. So,
Artis Payne.
Okay. Sterling Shepard, Victor Cruz. How do you feel about them?
It's hard to get away from Shepard with how he's performed through three games. So I think he's a low end number two. And Cruz is a low end number four.
Cruz is a sit. And the one thing about Minnesota, I think they do have the secondary to match up man to man on Shepard and Cruz. It's really just about what they do with Beckham. I would imagine it's going to be one guy on him with somebody else over the top to try and negate or dismay Eli from throwing his.
It's not the best quarterback that they face the Vikings because they played Cam and
Rodgers, right.
But is this the best receiving core that they faced? I would say yes.
Yeah, I think Shepard has a chance to have the best game of the receivers. I mean, I'm not saying I'd start him over Beckham. But
well, he's been the better fantasy receiver, right, through three games?
I would imagine, yeah.
His fantasy
he's got
points
two touchdowns, and
yep.
Beckham has none.
Right.
Dave offered me Jerick McKinnon straight up for Sterling Shepard. Tempting deal.
You offered me Crabtree for McKinnon.
I did, and then you countered with McKinnon for
yeah,
Shepard.
Yeah, I wanted a better receiver.
Why don't we go in right in the middle, and I'll give you Victor Cruz instead.
It's not right in the middle.
Jerick McKinnon outside the top 24, as I mentioned. All right, Stephon Diggs, guys, coming off a bad game. Giants did very well against Dez Bryant, no fantasy points. Very well against Brandon Cooks, 6 fantasy points. Played pretty well against Deshaun Jackson, except Jackson made an amazing catch, 44-yard touchdown catch in the end zone. So are you confident in Diggs this week?
Especially for the injuries.
Right. Eli Apple, Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie, if those guys are out, that hurts the Giants.
But if they put Janoris Jenkins on him, I can't get away from Diggs. I'm just bringing up the possibility.
He and Rudolph, the things that I like best about those two is that they're good short area targets for Bradford.
Yeah.
It doesn't take a lot of time for Bradford to fire a pass at them. And Diggs can absolutely make a play after the catch.
All right, this is going to be a long podcast, I can tell. So if you want to listen to some listener emails, you're going to have to stick around past the hour mark. Cleveland at Washington. Kirk Cousins, number 6 for Jamie, number 9 for Dave, number 9 for Heath. So you can definitely start Kirk Cousins this week. Cleveland has given up 23 points to Wentz, 20 to Flacco, 24 to Tannehill. Unbelievable. How about Matt Jones? We've talked about Dwayne Washington. We've talked about Cameron Artis Payne, Jordan Howard. How do you see Matt Jones, Jamie, fitting into that group of kind of borderline running backs?
He's right there. I mean, you know, I think this is going to be their best situation in terms of game flow to have a lead and run the ball at the end of the game. And so they've talked about the last couple weeks trying to get him more involved. He's actually run well, just hasn't gotten a lot of work and certainly hasn't found the end zone yet. And that, I think, is going to be the difference in him having a good to great game. So I hope he finds the end zone. I'm not afraid to start him this week.
Dwayne Washington or Matt Jones?
Washington, but that's back-to-back in my rankings.
Oh, okay. Dave, Dwayne Washington or Matt Jones?
Jones.
Cleveland has been good against the run so far. 3.9 yards per carry, only one running back, double-digit fantasy points, and Ryan Matthews needed 22 carries for that.
Right, but you look last week, the Dolphins, if they had one guy doing all the work, there would have been a good game.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And again, second half of back-to-back road games could be tired defense.
We love DeSean Jackson this week. What about Jamison Crowder? As mentioned, 5 wide receivers have scored 11 or more fantasy points in 3 games against Cleveland, so that's almost 2 per game. Crowder's only 44% owned. Dave, how do you feel about him?
I love him better in PPR. I think he's a really good number 3 receiver in PPR formats, and I would start him over Kevin White as an example in those formats because he's going to catch a lot of passes, good matchup for him. And we've seen Kirk Cousins. We haven't seen the best of Cousins yet this year, and still we've seen Crowder make plays and get 6 catches a game.
How about Cole Beasley or Crowder this week?
To me, there's no question it's Crowder.
Okay.
It's close in PPR.
What if Dez is out?
Nah.
Well, he will be out.
To me, it's not close.
Yeah, it's close in PPR.
All right, Jordan Reed, you're starting. Isaiah Crowell, we talked about. Isaiah Crowell or Matt Jones?
Crowell.
Terrell Pryor or Crowell? Flex.
Pryor.
Crowell.
PPR.
PPR, Pryor. Of course it's Pryor.
Okay. Pryor, let's see. Pryor or Emmanuel Sanders?
Sanders.
I'd go Pryor.
Gary Barnage, very borderline, 15th for Dave and Jamie, 10th for Heath, excuse me. And you can start the Washington DST if you're desperate. Cleveland has allowed 10 sacks, third most in the NFL. In fact, they're 9th for Jamie, 14th for Dave, and 14th for Heath, Redskins.
Second half back-to-back games on the road.
For the Browns, yeah. Mm-hmm. Denver at Tampa Bay. We spoke about Jameis Winston, Charles Sims. I think we covered most of this game.
Here's the nice thing about Thomas and Sanders. They've given up 2 touchdowns to a pair of receivers in every game this year.
Oh, wow.
Every game. 2 receivers have scored against them, including the Rams. Tavon Austin and Brian Quick, yeah. That exceptional
duo. It's almost been the number 1 and number 2 receiver every game.
Well, what does that mean for Trevor Siemian, guys? I mean, how does he compare to, let's say, Eli Manning or Trevor Siemian?
Great sleeper this week.
Yeah, I don't mind him.
Yep.
He's not in my top 12, but
it's just a matter of they let him throw. They let him throw.
I think game flow is going to dictate that more than anything else.
Well, right. If Tampa Bay's offense shows up, then he's going to have to throw. Last week, the Broncos found themselves in a hole early because of Jeremy Hill's long touchdown run.
This makes no sense, but I like him more than Eli this week.
Makes a lot of sense.
I went back and watched him play. He had a couple of bad passes too. He had 2 passes that should have been picked off by the Bengals. But
that's a much tougher defense though.
The deep balls that he threw were perfect.
Yes.
Perfect.
They were
perfect
beautiful
passes.
Beautiful passes.
And he's got great receivers making plays. And last week his matchup was tough. This week it's an easier pass rush and it's a much smaller secondary.
I skipped over Cameron Brait. So would you rather start Cameron Brait or Zach Miller?
I've got Miller. I've done a lot of thinking about Brait this week. And I just.
Touchdown dependent. That's the problem.
Yeah. The matchup's going to be mostly against TJ Ward. I can't pull the trigger on it. He's 13th for me among tight ends.
The nice thing about it is what we said about Jameis coming into the year, leaning on his tight ends. We thought it would be Safarian Jenkins. They have the most touchdowns to tight ends, 4 of any team. So without Safarian Jenkins in there, it's going to be either Brait or Myers probably catching a touchdown. Just a matter of who.
All right. The Rams at the Cardinals. Is this a pretty easy game here? I mean, I think the only question would be, you know, Michael Floyd, John Brown. But other than that, you're starting Palmer. You're starting Gurley, even though I do think there's potential for him to have a bad game if it's a blowout. But, right? I mean, you said earlier you'd start maybe LeGarrette Blount over Gurley, Melvin Gordon, but he's a start. What do you want to say about the Rams-Cardinals game?
I think this is we need to see something from one of the two guys, whether it's Floyd or Brown, because they're both on the chopping block in a lot of ways. Now, Brown had the decent game last week, but he didn't do anything to blow you away. I mean, you know, if you're talking about 6 for 70 as the ceiling for him, which we all don't think that's the ceiling, but if that's going to be the case, he has another one of those games.
You talking about Floyd?
No, Brown.
Brown, I'm sorry.
You know, if that's the bounce back and that's where the bounce back gets to, that's going to be pretty disappointing. You know, especially if he's getting all those targets.
Dave, you said that you'd start Brown over Floyd, but are you starting Brown, generally speaking? Would you start him over Terrell Pryor?
No, I wouldn't do that. He's a flex, and he's kind of a sleeper flex. I think he actually has some appeal this week because it's the Rams. I'll tell you what scares me, and I keep going back to this, and I'm wondering if I've got a lot of these Cardinals players ranked too high because of it, is last week that offensive line was ambushed by Buffalo. And I think that really set the pace of the game for the Cardinals. I think that's why Carson Palmer had a bad game. And I wonder if that means that the Rams are going to try and do the exact same thing.
I'm sure they will.
Up their blitzes, try and knock Palmer off his spot. And what is that going to do? To be fair, Palmer also had a lot of passes that should have been caught by Michael Floyd and by a couple of other receivers in the game. And his numbers probably should have been a little bit better, not a ton better.
Well, you had Floyd on the field. Should have probably been off the field with a concussion based on the, you know, way that he looked and certainly the way that he played. I don't know if that's, you know, I don't want to make that assumption, but, you know, after showing up Monday in the concussion protocol and getting checked out on Sunday.
Right. It's not a good look.
You know, I'm sorry to say this. I'm not sitting Michael Floyd. You know, I mean, maybe it's because I don't really have options, but I'm not there yet with him. I just think it's a bad start. Maybe I'm just way too loyal to preseason pick.
It's not the same thing because he was dealing with the hand injury last year, but it took him till week six, very similar to, you know, Sammy Watkins. He got off to the slow start. Larry Fitzgerald was hot. Floyd got under whatever he needed to get done. And that end of the season, he was their best receiver.
Yeah.
So
I don't really see, if you're going to sit Michael Floyd, I don't really see a big difference between him and Brandon Cooks at this point. Cooks has a tougher matchup and he's had two bad games in a row.
I think the difference would be is that he's still getting the targets you ask for from a quote unquote number one receiver.
Floyd's getting targets.
Not the same level as.
Well, he did that. He did that. Yeah.
Plus, you have the concussion situation that he's coming off of. And, you know, at least for. It's a fair comparison. I just think, you know, Cooks' ceiling is so much higher.
Right.
I get it.
But based on what we've seen.
Okay.
The one thing about the reason I would like to see the Cardinals play well again, second straight road game for the Rams, having to play at Tampa Bay last week and at Arizona. So this is as our good friend Pete Prisco said, the Bruce Arians stick it up your bleep game for the Cardinals to come back. And you know, he said he's been on them all week after that embarrassing performance. And it's hard to say that there's a more disappointing team than the Cardinals right now to be 1-2. Losing to Buffalo, losing to Garoppolo, and the Patriots at home. They've been pretty poor.
Yeah. Yeah, they got to show something for sure. All right, last game here is Dallas and San Francisco. Sit Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott, man. I mean, Todd Gurley, 4 fantasy points in week one. Last year, Peterson, 5 fantasy points. Lacy, 9 fantasy points. David Johnson, 8 fantasy points. Jeremy Hill had 13, but 19 carries for 31 yards. Devontae Freeman had 12 carries for 12 yards. These are all running backs at San Francisco. But Elliott, I guess, look, if Tyron Smith not going to play, Lael Collins, you know what I'm saying here? Do you see bust potential for Elliott, but you're still starting him, right?
He's in the Gurley mode, not the Le'Veon Bell mode. Yeah. Like you're overly excited to start Bell and David Johnson and those guys. It's like Zeke,
You have to.
Real quick, give me your thoughts on the Cowboys wide receivers.
Stay away if you can, if Dez is out.
Mm-hmm. That Beasley in PPR should be good. I don't think he erupts for, 100 yards and 2 touchdowns just because Dez isn't there.
7 for 70 type game.
Yeah.
Okay. I was planning on starting Terrence Williams over Kenny Stills. I don't think that's going to work out now.
No. And look at Bryce Butler, too. I mean, he had a good preseason performance with Dak. So maybe in deep leagues, you want to speculate, do it now. just in case Dez is out for 3 weeks.
All right, emails here. This is from Patrick in Los Angeles. Dear Michelangelo, Donatello, Raphael, and Leonardo, who would you start at flex? Pryor, Decker.
Donatello.
You started that. Pryor, Decker, Sims, or Gore? Pryor, Decker, Sims, or Gore?
Sims.
Yeah, I think Sims would be my hero in a half shell.
Here's Jeff, 12-team PPR. I give up Marvin Jones and CJ Anderson. Give up Jones and Anderson. I get Le'Veon Bell and Sterling Shepard. Grade the trade.
A plus.
I think that's a good deal.
It's not an A plus. A plus would be like, I give up Victor Cruz. I get Le'Veon Bell.
Is the drop off from Bell to Anderson worth the drop off from Jones to Sterling Shepard?
If
I think so.
If he's hurt.
You know, the more I look at this, I don't know if I like that deal.
I like it. If PPR, it's PPR especially. That's the big difference between Bell and Anderson, you know. This is from
that's
David.
True.
David says, "Dear Eric, Carl, and Ernie."
Yeah, that's from
Eric
Madison.
Yeah. Latavius Murray, Jordan Howard, Dwayne Washington, Spencer Ware. Pick one. Latavius, Howard, Washington, Ware.
Howard.
I got Howard.
This is from Jordan. Frank Gore, Kristen Michael, Jay Crowder, or Edelman?
Jay Crowder. Isn't that a basketball player?
Oh, Jamison Crowder. Yeah, Jay Crowder. I think he's on the Celtics.
Yep. I'd go Michael. Michael's another one of those guys, though, like early in Zeke. It's not a great matchup. Huh?
Right.
And would you start Edelman or Jamison Crowder?
I would lean toward Crowder.
Wow. All right. Jake in New York. Dear Drew, Brandon, and Mark. Brandon is Brandin.
Oh, so Saints.
Yes. Latavius Murray or Kristen Michael this week?
Michael.
Yes.
This is from Jimmy from Malibu. Dear Ricky, Vernon, and Spencer.
Oh, that's Ballers.
Oh, okay. Isaiah Crowell or Jeremy Maclin?
Crowell.
This is from Dave in Richfield, Minnesota. Dear Randy, Chris, and Stefan.
Those are Vikings wide receivers.
They are. What are your thoughts on streaming Chris Hogan against his old team and dropping Josh Gordon?
I don't mind getting Hogan for Gordon. Obviously, you're dropping a player who's not going to get you anything for one who probably will. The quarterback situation would put a big red stop sign in front of me putting Hogan in my lineup.
They've taken shots down the field with him in every game so far. He connected in week one.
Even last week, did they do it?
I think so. I think there was at least, unless I'm getting confused between last week and the week before. I'm pretty sure that there was a misplay.
Maybe they did last
down
week.
The field. So they're trying, and he is he's a great stash candidate right now, because I think if they're trying with Garoppolo and Brissett, you know they're going to try with Brady. So this is one of those games where you wouldn't be surprised if Belichick tries to get him into the end zone in Buffalo.
It looks like there were two deep pass attempts last week from Brissett to Hogan. Incomplete, brother.
Okay, I get it, Hogan. I made a trade yesterday. I gave up Odell Beckham and Alfred Morris for Jordy Nelson and Frank Gore. Jamie said I got ripped off. He hated it. Twitter disagreed with you. 2,300 votes, 2,400 votes, 52% like the Nelson side, 48% like the Beckham side. You are crazy. If you think I lost it, fine. If you think I got ripped off and did a horrible job, you are insane, my friend.
You got ripped off.
I think
the Beckham side's a little bit better.
I mean, you are familiar with Jordy Nelson, right? Like, have you heard of him?
The thing you're gonna kick yourself is when Ezekiel Elliott gets hurt and you're
that would kill me.
And you're watching Alfred Morris become Kristen Michael.
Yeah, that would absolutely kill me. All right, that's it for the show, guys. This was a lot of fun. We had a good week. I'm very excited for the radio show tomorrow. And go Hurricanes. For Dave, Richard, Jamie Eisberg, I'm Adam Azer.
Whoa.
Any parting words? I'm not doing it, Dave.
No, come on. Adam Azer to wrap up the podcast. Actually, I'll do it.
Okay,
Adam
you Azer, do it, Dave.
Jamie Eisberg and Dave Richard. This is Santa Claus. So long, everybody. Ho, ho, ho.
Bye.
Bye.